Live from the WTAD studios in the Lincoln Douglas building in downtown Quincy, it's time to pull up a chair and assemble today's WTAD News Roundtable.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the News Roundtable. Good morning. My name is Quade. Yesterday, I told you we had a special treat for today. Scott was kind of getting on to me because he said, well, it'll end up being a special treat for us, but perhaps not for the listeners. Last week, Hy-Vee delivered some high-end donuts to this facility, and people descended upon them immediately.
And Quade got none.
It was about this same time,
and there are people I've never even seen before. And I'm like, who are you? And they're like, I work here. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. What do you mean you work here? And with a mouthful of donuts, like, oh, yeah, work. And then they disappear. I haven't seen them since. Still don't know who they're, but I didn't get the donut. I got a little sliver of the lemon cream, which was nice. But then on Sunday, in the midst of my regular shopping, John Marshall said, you want me to bring you some more donuts? And I said, you are on, sir. So John, along with Lucas from Hy-Vee on Harrison, have delivered a super loaded box of high-end donuts.
And we'll just take care of you, so we've got some goodies here.
I appreciate it. Gentlemen, thank you for being here today. Now, tell me about these donuts. Why all of a sudden has Hy-Vee decided to up their donut game?
I'll just let Luke take that, our baker manager here.
Well, we prior to having this program, we had a pre-fried program, which was a great program as well. But we decided to give our customer a little better quality. Right now, the donut craze has kind of hit the market. They're thinking, you know, more of your higher end. Like right now, we got a strawberry shortcake. We got an Oreo donut. And trying to take a donut out of the box of breakfast and make it more of a dessert item.
Yeah, that's right, Quade. Get a closer look at those.
I'm going to take a picture, essentially, because what he's describing, there's a box of in front of him, so I'm going to take a picture so we can put it on the News Roundtable Facebook page, because he's talking about the Oreo donut. I'm like, I see it right there. I'm going to take a picture of this.
Yeah, I was trying to get the donut to take a more of a front seat as far as an everyday option to eat, not just breakfast anymore. So
is
maybe a dessert.
Is the one nearest, Quade, are those banana slices or apple?
Yeah, that's our banana Foster there, which is a maple icing with a caramelized on it and banana chips.
We might have to share that one.
Oh, we also have one for the kids. We got cereal on top of them.
So. Okay, so these particular recipes are, we were talking about this in the green room before the show. These particular recipes are donuts that you can get at any Hy-Vee?
Yes, we'll sell them. I think by February, every Hy-Vee should have all 28 varieties that we offer.
But now they're at both Quincy stores?
They are at both Quincy stores here now.
Okay, and as far as kind of expanding on those varieties, you can come up with some ideas on your own, though, can't you?
Yeah, eventually, you know, once we get everything down pat, we already got some ideas for some different ones that we're wanting to try to make it more unique for our market here in Quincy.
Now, if people have ideas, are you open to those?
Yeah, and we'll always take suggestions. If a customer is wanting us to maybe try something, we're always willing to try it and see how it turns out.
Pick your toppings at the bakery.
By the Harrison Hy-Vee, we'll take care of them.
That, you know what, and I think that's, you know, I think it's a really nice feature to have so that people who shop there can kind of feel more invested in what's going on. If you have an idea, if you say, well, why wouldn't they do this? Just say that. How come you haven't done this? Maybe try this. When you would make up one like that, would you just do one or would you do, you know, a run of them? What would be a run of them?
A run of them would probably be right around 60 or so. And we would, you know, if one person likes it, we'd go ahead and try and sell it to the whole market, see what their feedback is, and kind of go from there.
What's been the response to these? How long have you been up in the, you know, running the specialty donuts?
Last Wednesday was the first day that we started selling them. And I was a little skeptical at first with the gourmet, but they've all went over really good. You know, people are kind of trying to get away from the glazed donut and do something new and try something new. And that's more or less what we were trying to do as a company is, you know, take it out of the box that it's in and hopefully get a new market in it.
So the response has been even better than what you expected?
Yes, very much so.
So if you would like to try any of these, I'm going to put the picture up on the News Roundtable Facebook page. By the way, when you visit there, feel free to like our page and then like the donuts, because I think you're going to like what you see. They can come by and get these. Probably the earlier in the day, the better.
No, we should have pretty much every variety up until 6:30 in the evening.
Really?
Wow.
Okay.
Take us through that box real quick before we run out of time. Tell us some of those.
So we got your traditional apple fritters. We have a blueberry streusel.
I see that.
Oreo.
That's on a regular like blueberry cake donut, right?
Yep. It's blueberry, and then we glaze them, and then when the glaze, before it cools, we'll roll it into a streusel, so all that butter cooks right into it.
Oh.
The only bad thing about that, it's blueberry, as you well know.
I love blueberries.
Yeah. And I know you do.
We got, it looks like strawberry shortcake there, Oreo, a cherry cheesecake, and my favorite, the fried cinnamon rolls.
What was the one that had cereal on top
last week
when you brought them by? It looked like Fruit Loops or something like that on top.
Yeah, we have one with Fruit Loops, one with Fruity Pebbles, and one with Cocoa Pebbles.
All right.
I know what would really go over well, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
We'll have to try that, and that'd probably be a good one for the fried cinnamon roll right there.
That's a good call, sir.
You bet.
I like it. See how this is already moving forward? Very good. Well, gentlemen, if you want to hang, you know, just chill with the donuts here and, you know, let me sit by them a little longer, that'd be great. Scott Hardy, Scott says some local news for the WTAD Newsroom. Good morning, sir.
I will tell you that while Quaid does his Homer Simpson impersonation and eats a donut, that'll be no problem. Hannibal Board of Public Works, this came to us 5 minutes after the end of the show yesterday. They sent out a release saying they have filed suit in Marion County Court against the city of Hannibal over enforcing Proposition 1. Of course, that's the referendum that's going to remove ammonium sulfate from the city's drinking water. Basically, the board says that they want the ordinance ruled, quote, invalid and unenforceable because it's in direct conflict with state law. Basically, what's happened is you've got, on the one hand, you've got the state of Missouri saying to the BPW, no, you cannot take the chloramines out of the water, and yet you've got the city saying, we want you to take the chloramines out of the water. What the state is saying is, well, if you want to do that, you have to have a plan ready, and the BPW is saying, it's not going to be ready for 2 years. So you're going to have to, you know, I'm sure they're, you know, maybe they'll try to abide by voters' wishes, but it's like for now, they're caught in a legal no man's land where no matter what they do, they're going to get in trouble by somebody, is what they're facing right now.
Well, you talked about what was going to happen after this vote occurred. We were like, okay, well, what moving forward is going to be the plan? Because if you don't have one way to clean the water and the other one isn't ready to go, you're just not going to have clean water in between?
Right.
So are we just going to continue with the chloramines? I mean, because
that's the plan. That's state law is what the BPW is saying. And
okay.
Right now, they've hired Black and Veatch to do a study, which isn't going to be done until the end of this year. And then once that gets done and anything gets approved, it's going to be 2 years after that before any new system is set up. That's according to BPW. So there's going to be a hearing on this in Marion County Court on August 4th. So there's that. Also, Hannibal man's been found guilty of being an armed habitual criminal and aggravated discharge of a firearm less than 20 minutes by an Adams County jury. Yuron Matthews was convicted yesterday on those charges after a two-day trial. He was convicted of shooting into a vehicle that was driving on Lynn between 5th and 6th Streets back on November 12th of last year. He could get anywhere from 10 to 45 years in prison. He'll be sentenced on August 30th. And, of course, that's a quick look at news. Of course, we'll keep you updated here on WTAD.com and on Twitter at 9:30 a.m. WTAD.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
My donut in my face here. Blueberry streusel. Yeah. There was two of those. I don't think I'm overstepping my bounds by having one of the two.
You got a preview of the second half here?
Yeah, second half of the show, also a special treat because yesterday afternoon, Governor Rauner's, people from Governor Rauner's team contacted us and said, can we get the governor on for tomorrow's show? And I said, yes!
He said,
so
okay.
We'll be talking, the plan is to talk with Governor Bruce Rauner after the break on the News Roundtable.
WTAD.
Ten 18 in the News Roundtable at AM 930 WTAD. Thanks for joining us. And we are joined now by Governor Bruce Rauner. Governor, thanks for being here on the show this morning. Is Senate President John Cullerton still squatting on SB1, sir?
He is. That's a good way to put it. He's taking orders from Speaker Madigan, as usual. Madigan has told him, don't send the education funding bill to the governor. Wait. Let's hold the schools hostage. Their plan is to sit on school funding all the way until August, and then threaten the crisis, threaten the schools, say, you can't open unless you sign the bill in its current form, no changes. And we want the taxpayers of Illinois to do a bailout of Chicago pensions. That's what they're going to do. That's why I'm calling into you, and I'm driving all around the state of Illinois from Springfield and everywhere, getting out the word. We need everybody in Illinois to contact your legislature, legislator, your lawmaker, with Democrat, Republican, everybody, call your legislator and say, send the governor our education funding bill. Our schools need to open on time. Send it to him today. And then I, as governor, I will quickly, a mandatory veto that bill. I'll take out the pension bailout piece of it. That'll free up the money to go to our, go to our schools that need it. Madigan's trying to, hold the schools hostage so that all the money that should go in the classroom for our local school districts in Quincy and, Macomb and, down in Granite City or up in, Rock Island, he wants the money away from those schools. And he wants it to go to Chicago pensions. And we've got to stand against that. We've got to fight it.
Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner, our guest this morning on the News Roundtable. Chicago public school pensions are supposed to be independent from the rest of the state structure. Is this their only plan right now to get more state money, or is there a backup plan for this if this doesn't work for them?
Well, you know, they're always got their sneaky ways of supporting their own political machine in Chicago. I mean, that's what Madigan, he's been doing that for 35 years. And they did exactly this same thing on the budget and that outrageous permanent 32% tax hike that they forced on the people of Illinois. That was wrong. I vetoed it. I fought against it. But you know what? Madigan created a crisis there. He used, basically, it's legislative extortion. He basically held our community colleges hostage. He held our universities, Western Illinois University, another hostage for 2 years. No budget for them, no money, so that they were in pain and suffering. He hurt our human service organizations. He hurt our government agencies. He created a crisis, huge pressure, to force a massive tax hike with no reforms to our system, nothing better. And now, even after a tax hike, we still don't have a balanced budget. He wouldn't cut wasteful spending. He wouldn't agree to pay down debt. It's just wrong. And he's trying to do the same thing now on schools. He's holding our schools hostage. He's trying to put pressure on the rest of the General Assembly and say, look, your schools in your district won't open unless you do the pension bailout for Chicago. And that's why I need your listeners and everybody in the state of Illinois, Democrats and Republicans, let's stand up, let's put our kids first. The children of Illinois should be our top priority, and our teachers, we have wonderful teachers, they deserve the money in the classroom so they can teach. And this is why, so send the bill to me now, get the bill on my desk, I will mandatory veto it, I'll take out the pension bailout piece. That'll free up the money. And let me give you a couple quick numbers so your listeners understand what's at stake here. So for Quincy schools, when I mandatory veto that bill to free up the money, Quincy is going to get more than $250,000 per year from the state that Madigan's trying to take away to give to Chicago. $250,000 a year for Quincy schools. And more than $150,000 a year to Camp Point, $150,000 a year to Havana schools, about the same amount for Macomb schools. And some of the bigger districts, like Granite City, when I mandatory veto that bill down in Granite City, they'll get $1.2 million more per year. Or Rock Island up in the Quad Cities, they'll get $1.1 million more per year when I mandatory veto that bill. Madigan doesn't want that. He wants all those millions taken away from Western Illinois schools, and he wants it sent to Chicago pensions. The answer to that is no, that's not right, it's not fair, and we got to stand against that together, Democrats and Republicans.
Governor, are you worried about the what are the chances of the General Assembly overriding that veto?
Well, this is we can't let that happen. This is the reason I'm with you on the phone today. You know, Madigan, you know, he's ruled the General Assembly for 35 years, and he rules through fear. You know, and he creates crises, and then he forces bad things. That's the reason we've lost so many jobs. That's the reason we have the highest property taxes in America. That's the reason we have the most debt in America. That's the reason we have the worst funded schools. He cut school funding around the state four times before I became governor in the prior 10 years. He rules from fear, and you know what? We as a people, the people of Illinois, should not live in fear under Speaker Madigan anymore. It's time we all stand up and say, no more, stop it. We're not going to live under your thumb. We're not going to live under you as a tyrant. You're not going to run our state for the benefit of your political class and your insiders in Chicago. We're going to have our state that's run for our people, our families, our children, our teachers, and no more. The governor is going to mandatory veto that bill, and the people of Illinois support the governor getting the money to all our teachers around the state on a fair basis. This is the time to fight, and we need all your listeners to unite with us.
If the legislature overrides your mandatory veto, doesn't that put us still further away from reforming the school teacher pensions, not just in Chicago, but all through the state?
No, that's right. It'll fix nothing. It would be a disaster if we cannot let my veto be overridden the way it was. The same thing with the tax hike. That tax hike, disaster for the state. Fixed nothing. It's just raises the cost of living for our working families. It's a pay cut for the working families of Illinois, and we still don't have a balanced budget. Madigan's plan is to have more tax hikes in the very near future. In his spending plan that I vetoed, he didn't pay down any debt, he didn't cut any wasteful spending, and in fact, he cut what little spending he cut was for things that will actually save taxpayers money, like investing in our computer systems so I can hold government operations accountable and cut more costs because I can measure results. He cut the computer funding because he doesn't want government measured or monitored so we can drive the cost down. He likes big government. He likes higher taxes. That's how he makes his money. This is what we've got to fight and change. We need the people of Illinois together. Democrats and Republicans, unite, do what's right for our teachers in our communities, our children. Fight against the Madigan bad bill.
Governor Bruce Rauner, our guest this morning on the News Roundtable. I want to take it back to when you were candidate, Bruce Rauner. You were for spending more on education back then, but this funding bill is not about just base spending for schools. This is about those pensions in Chicago.
I'm good. I want to put more money in schools, and I want to put more money in the classroom in Chicago too. I work for the children and the teachers in Chicago too. But what we can't do is have Chicago treated different, where the money that should be in the classroom in Quincy, and in Metro East and in the Quad Cities and in Springfield where I live, and in Decatur is going to lose $1.6 million under Madigan's plan that I can restore. Springfield, when I mandatory veto the bill, Springfield's going to get $500,000 more per year. That's an incredible amount. They need that money in Springfield. Madigan wants all that money out of our local communities around the state, and he wants to send it to Chicago pensions. We cannot let that happen. We need to push him to send me the bill now. Don't wait until August when everybody's screaming and panicking and ready to give in to his extortion threats. Send the bill now. I will mandatory veto it, and then it will travel the state saying, support my mandatory veto, support what money should go to the classroom, and I think we can get it done. We've got to stay strong.
Governor Bruce Rauner, our guest on the News Roundtable. Governor, I want to change topics for just a second. Mariana Hearn out of NBC5 in Chicago was reporting that State Senator Sam McCann may challenge you in the primary. I want to get your thoughts on that.
I have no focus on politics. That's off, way off in the future. I pay no attention to any of that kind of baloney. I'm focused on making sure that our state government is run for the people. Benefit, not for the Chicago machine. And I have fought hard for 4.5 years. I will never give up. We need term limits on elected officials. We need property tax relief. We need more jobs in our state by getting regulations off the backs of our small business owners. And we need a government structure that works for the people so we can bring down taxes. And number one, right now, is number one priority for me is education. I care passionately about our children, and I want the best schools in America in every community. You know what? Speaker Madigan and his majority in the General Assembly in the prior 10 years before I became governor, they cut school funding from the state four times in 10 years. I became governor, I said, no more school funding cuts. We're going to increase school funding, and I got more every year. And now they're trying to take some of that money that I've supported putting in schools. They're trying to siphon it away and send it to Chicago pensions. And the answer is no, we're not going to let that happen. The money should go in the classrooms in our communities around the state, and that's what we're going to fight to do.
Governor Bruce Rauner with us this morning on the News Roundtable. Governor Rauner, we appreciate you coming on and speaking to this issue as it gets closer and closer to being kind of a squeeze type situation, which is what the speaker wants in the first place.
Exactly.
Of course, our listeners know how to get in contact with Representative Randy Freese and Senator Jill Tracy. We appreciate you taking some time and joining us this morning on the News Roundtable.
Great to be with you. Thanks much. Well, we'll talk again soon. See ya.
It's Governor Bruce Rauner, just a little bit of, 10 minutes or so this morning with us on the News Roundtable. Interesting, because if this sounds very familiar, like he said, this is very familiar to what happened with the budget itself just a month ago or so. All right, so let's see. We had the mayor on Monday. We had Missouri State Treasurer Eric Schmidt on yesterday. We had Governor Rauner on today. I have no idea what we can elevate it to for tomorrow's show. But tune in and find out. We'll be here at 10. You should be too.
The News Roundtable will reconvene tomorrow morning at 10:06 a.m. on AM 930 WTAD. Podcast available online at WTAD.com.